Yes, hello esports fans, Richard Lewis here. As promised, going to be dropping you a video today to talk about the Swedish shakeup that's happened between Fnatic and Godsent. Yes, there has been a sizable roster swap today, a seismic one, one of epic proportions. This will happen in sports from time to time. You will get transfers, you will get roster swaps that are so incredible to conceive of. You know, think Ronaldo to Real Madrid, or you know, LeBron back to Cleveland. These are incredible stories in and of themselves, and this one is an incredible story in and of itself. You have got so much going on here. First off, you have got this new organization, Godsent, managing to attract three players from Fnatic. You've got those same three players reuniting with an in-game leader that they used to work with back when they were the best team in the world. You have got the current, still, you know, the team that's picked up the most trophies in this year, 2016, deciding to you know, make a change after dominating all of 2015. You know, we're very much in the SK Gaming era now. The Brazilians are way out in front, as evidenced by back-to-back majors. So, crazy stuff, right? It's a crazy story. But let's just start at the beginning. So, you know, I did say coming out of E-League that if I was a betting man, which I think we know from this channel I'm not, I would monitor, I would keep an eye on Fnatic, I would keep an eye on that roster. There was something that didn't feel quite right to me, and I felt there were changes incoming. Now, I couldn't have foreseen the sheer size and scale of the change. And this is really a crazy story. You know, I figured JW would be going out. That's been theorized before. That's been talked about before. He came close to joining NIP in the past. I think it was only a buyout that stopped that move happening. I didn't realize he'd be taking some friends with him. Now, joining Godsent is going to be Crims, Flusher, and JW from this Fnatic lineup. And the interesting thing about Godsent is they're going to be a player-owned organization. That means that these players that are leaving Fnatic are now going to be kind of the masters of their own destiny, very much like the Astralis players. They are going to join this team. They're going to own a share of the team. And people, you know, might be skeptical about what I'm about to say based on Astralis's achievements of late, but it should act as an extra incentive, an extra motivator to improve your form and to get better at the game and to revitalize and re-energize you as a player, because your brand is now what you represent. You're not representing somebody else's. This belongs to you. And I think we're going to see this more and more frequently, where players are going to have an ownership stake in brands and esports. And I think it's a good thing, honestly. Right now, I don't see what traditional esports organizations bring to players that they couldn't go out and get themselves. Or certainly what those services are. They don't seem worth the payoffs. So, for example, and I'm going to do a video on this. I've already talked about it. We came across a contract which probably ranks up as one of the most disgusting I've ever seen. And while I'm not going to shame the organization, I'm going to talk explicitly about the contract. Me and Sam are going to do a video on that. So, what you typically sign away when you join an organization as a player is, you know, you sign away your image rights. You agree to effectively make your brand an extension of the organization's brand. Now, sometimes that's very beneficial. If you're not a particularly well-known player and you have no image rights per se, leasing those image rights for a short period of time, say so an organization could make a t-shirt of you or an action figure or whatever it might be, that actually benefits you. But more often than not, what we see is organizations pick up already the best players in the world, the best players in their particular field, they pick them up and they take their imaging rights, and it's just signed away as a matter of course, and this gives the organization complete marketing and branding rights to use. So, for example, and sometimes these are ongoing. So even after you leave the organization, They can continue to use your brand, you, as a marketing tool, even though you no longer play for them. When players sign this as a matter of course. I also see a lot of things like, you know, when you stream, you will use our logos on the overlay. You will use our sponsors in your own personal space. And we will take a percentage of the streaming revenue. Well, I would want something in return for that rather than just being in a team. I would want the team to be pushing my stream through their social media outlets, and I'd want to see a measurable increase in viewership and in turn my income. If I don't get that, I don't see why I'm surrendering away something I've built up. And unfortunately, that seems to be par for the course. So I've talked to a lot of players about this. I've said, when it comes to sponsorships, you're what sponsors want to put their name on. It's not just the brand. It's the social media reach that you have. It's how well you play at a tournament. It's you. So let's say, for example, if you were Shox, okay, and I'm just using him as an example, but let's say he made Team Shox, the most electrifying team in esports, had a little lightning logo, and he went out and got sponsors and had a lawyer draft up some reasonable contracts for his teammates. What has happened there that he wouldn't get from an existing organization? All that they have there is the experience that the staff and the fact that they're already established, they already have the infrastructure. You'd be a startup. So yeah, there'd be some initial challenges, but there's no reason why a player-owned organization cannot get to where a traditional esports org is in 3 months, honestly. If you know what you're doing, and if not, you can delegate. You can find somebody who will. Get a consultant, get an agent, you know, hire somebody. And I think we will see more players doing this. Anyway, the other thing that surprised me about this from a business perspective, obviously we'll talk about the roster in a second, but I want to talk about the business aspects of this. Fnatic have been effectively outspent by Godsend. That's how it appears to me, just on the surface of it. That's how it feels, that they have not done the better piece of business here. And let's look at what they're losing. They're losing three tenured players who must have had contracts in place. So I'm guessing there was a buyout. But the problem you've got there is, I mean, I given the way the rosters have gone, I give a slight edge to Godsend here. So not only have you sold players from your organization, you've sold them to a local rival, a rival who could be dominating your space in terms of marketing budget, when it comes to sponsors, in terms of placements at events. You know, if you're going to sell players, you know, you might want to do it to people in other regions and then hope, you know, the only time you ever play each other is at a major or something. This seems to me to be quite short-sighted. And I've often found this with Fnatic, and this isn't to be disparaging. Fnatic are a great brand. They're one of the brands I've followed my entire time in esports. They're one of the great brands in esports. But they do seem at times to be concerned with the nickels and dimes. You know, they seem to be concerned with the money. This happened in the League of Legends team, you know, when they lost all of their great names, and they could have replaced them with decent names. You know, Spirit is a name that springs to mind. And apparently they couldn't agree a deal because they couldn't meet the salary demands, or weren't willing to meet the salary demands. Same when they had players go out. Players were saying, you know, you think about XPeke and how he himself made his own brand. It's not a good look, is it, when players leave your brand, can start their own thing, and they're financially better off? That isn't a good look. So they want to be very careful about perceptions here, because I think they're getting towards that position where people are going to start thinking, are Fnatic cheapskates? Are they a cheap organization? And there's been a lot of speculation in the community about their cash flow. You know, I've talked to their executives, you know, at conferences, and they're all great guys and they're all competent guys. But, you know, they purchased a peripheral company so they could make their own peripherals and have them branded and have that infrastructure there. And that makes sense as a revenue stream. You're going to get a bigger share. But short term, does that offset? Does that offset cause problems? You know, and I think these questions are valid. I think when an organization is tenured as Fnatic is seemingly, on the surface at least, getting outspent by Godsend, brand new in the space, that's a concern, in my opinion, and something long-term hardcore Fnatic fans are really going to have to have in the back of their minds moving forward, because if this roster move doesn't turn out to be value for money, you know, we've seen plenty of organizations where it's like, you know, you look at G2 when they sold FaZe, everyone was like, you crazy. They made serious bank off that move, and we see how FaZe is struggling right now. Turns out Ocelot was right. Whatever you think of the guy, he played that business sensibly. So if Fnatic don't do the same, I think fans are going to lose a little bit of confidence. The other key thing from a business perspective is the legendary status is gone for the next major. Fnatic will now have to go through the qualifiers. And that isn't something you sell cheap. That is sticker money. That is status within the scene, within the space. So to allow that to go, you must have been compensated in ways beyond our comprehension. And I would argue you can't really put a price tag on that in terms of what it does for your brand, in terms of what it does for revenue streams. I think letting that go could be incredibly short-sighted. I really think that is a crazy thing to allow to happen. And Pronak said it himself on Twitter. We've been mouse-lifted into the major. This is a team that with no... they're a good team. They definitely could have got there or whatnot, but they don't have the pedigree of a Fnatic. And now they're going to be there kind of playing in that position predicated on the fact that, you know, they've got Fnatic's players. And look, I'm all for player power. I don't think players should surrender spots, but this new brand has had this kind of artificial boost. So from a branding perspective, that's worth its weight in gold. You know, like that is, you shouldn't be able to buy that, but you've bought it here. And I wonder if Fnatic might regret that. They might feel that they've sold it a little bit cheap. Just in terms of the Swedish landscape now as well, I think it's worth mentioning that while I still have Fnatic ahead of them, I've got to say, this has really pushed NIP further down the hierarchy of CS. These are roster moves that I think they should have perhaps been looking at, could have been cognizant of. I won't name names. I don't want to be cruel. This video is not about them. But I think there's one or certainly two players that maybe you look at and you say, well, hey, we could have picked up one or two players if this shuffle was going on, and we could have strengthened ourselves. And it shows this, again, ongoing lack of ambition that has characterized NIP. I love the brand. I love the team. I think they're great professionals. But again, I wonder if perhaps there's some players that are maybe a little bit disappointed that we didn't get to strengthen so far in this roster mania we're going to have. So moving on to the rosters, like I said, I do find it difficult to say that Fnatic came out with a better a deal, you know? It looks to me that Godsent have got upgrades like across the board, even though the players that are coming into Godsent are doing so on a slump. I think, first of all, we talk about Krims. I think Krims is a phenomenal player, a phenomenal talent, was at one point the best player in the world, albeit briefly by some other players that have held that title. But he is somebody who has really struggled of late and has been inconsistent and erratic in his form. And I don't think that'll continue. I think he's too good a player for that to continue, but certainly that's noticeable. It's the same for Flusher in a way, to a lesser extent. I think Flusher's had some inconsistent games, and I think that comes down to there's obviously been some issues within the team. I think Flusher still remains one of the most intelligent players to play the game in terms of how he reads it and his understanding of where people are, how to play clutch situations, everything else. I mean, I watched him at E-League myself. I just recorded a video, actually, at the E-League Studios talking about that ace he got. Just a phenomenal player. Those two players, even in a slump, are going to bring something, a godsend. Now, JW for me is the biggest gamble here. I think he's got the biggest amount to prove. I think the days of JW doing consistently crazy stuff, being a top-tier AWPer, somebody that can grab a game by the scruff of the neck and do amazing things. I think those days are distant memories, honestly. And I'll give Jesper the benefit of the doubt here because I know him. I know he's a model professional. A lot of people said like the true JW got nerfed when the CZ did. I think that's a little bit disparaging. But he hasn't been a truly world-class player for a while. And it's a shame because he's got that potential. His skill ceiling is incredibly high. He just hasn't got close to it. Now, obviously, there have been personal problems on this team. There has been a divide. I noticed it. You know, I when I'm at events, I saw the team. They didn't look to be the old cohesive unit. Sometimes people would sit apart. Sometimes they'd eat apart. There didn't seem to be that same kind of camaraderie that there was there in 2015. And I think JW is probably the person that's felt that the most. I think it probably didn't help that he tried to leave once and then it was kind of denied. That's always an awkward situation. And this is only speculation on my part. But I don't know if his heart has been 100% in it. I think he always wants to win. I think he's a fierce competitor. But when you're not happy with your environment, it's always going to shave a little bit off your overall performance. Now, this doesn't seem like too wild speculation because when I look at the Fnatic website, they issued a statement today, obviously, as you would for such a huge announcement. And you can see JW said as part of his departure. The day I never thought would come is sadly here, my departure from Fnatic. After 3 years of blood, sweat, and monster, love that. That's a great title for an autobiography, a sponsored autobiography, I might add. Blood, sweat, and monster, we are closing a chapter. Our results have not been satisfying to all of us lately, and I guess you can say that these internal pressures test friendships. Unfortunately, we did not pass that test. So, he's right, you know, like obviously they didn't pass that test, and I know what it's like. You can be friends with somebody, but when you're playing on a team with them and week in, week out, and maybe people have different expectations, different approaches to resolving problems, different ways of conflict resolution. Some people not wanting to even try and resolve conflict, some people wanting to bury their head in the sand. It can create a very, you know, frustrating environment. And I honestly think JW is going to be the player that he has the most potential benefit from a fresh start. Now, that doesn't mean we're necessarily going to see him back to jumping around like he used to and tearing heads off with the AWP. But if he doesn't get there, then he's got to take a long, hard look at his own game and decide how he can reinvent himself as a player. Everything is set here for him to be this like standout player in Godsent, you know, to get back to his old ways. He's got Pronax there who knows how to utilize him. JW's best run of form came with Pronax as an in-game leader. This is the perfect environment for JW to be in. He'll get the roles that he wants with Pronax. And, you know, I think we'll see a better JW moving forward. But I got to say, like I say, he's the one that has the most pressure. Now, we move over to Fnatic, and they keep Olafmeister. So there's the good news right there if you're a Fnatic fan. Because Olafmeister, yep, he had that injury. A lot of people said form-wise he was a shadow of himself. Again, this is hyperbole. This is people who like to over-exaggerate. Olafmeister had a slow start in E-League when he came back from that injury, but he actually hit the ground pretty fast considering he'd been out of competitive play for months. He won pretty much every time Fnatic played. He won hands down the most number of Buffalo Wild Wings blazing hot players in the match. You know, this wasn't a guy who had one or two good games. This was a guy who came out and was back to doing the business. And I still think he's got an extra 10% to go before he's back to his best. But the thing with Olafmeister is he will always be in contention to be the best player in the world. He's that good. He's part of a trifecta right now. It's like Nico, Coldzera, and him. And any of these players on any given day can carry a game, win a game single-handedly for their team, do things that are unthinkable within the mechanical realms of Counter-Strike. Olofmeister still has that capability, and it was essential Fnatic kept one talismanic player. You're letting Flusher, one of the most successful players of all time, you Crims, often seen as the wingman to Olofmeister, but an incredible player in his own right, JW, you let all of those players go. If you let Olofmeister go as well, then you are essentially saying, we have no ambitions left. We just do not care anymore. We're just going to muddle through. So keeping Olofmeister, vitally important to the Fnatic brand, vitally important to Fnatic being a competitive force. Now, the other good news is Dennis stays. Dennis has been off the chain lately. His stats, his form, he has actually been in a better place form-wise than the players that have left. So Dennis has shown where Flusher and Crims and JW haven't. And this was bore out, at E-League, where we saw Fnatic and Virtus Pro have that, great game. And Dennis and was one of the guys, Dennis was the guy who was like there. He handled himself very well. And I think ever since he's joined Fnatic, he's been... We always knew he was talented, but just how good he's been, I think he's a little bit underrated, if anything. I don't think people give him enough credit as a performer. So that's good news. Right there, Olofmeister and Dennis are two phenomenal players for you to build a team around. And the real story here is Twist coming to Fnatic. If Godsend had kept Twist, it's hard to say because I think Schneider's phenomenal talent as well, but I have Twist just ahead of him, I think, overall, at the moment at least. But imagine if Pronax had, gone a coach and they'd kept Twist. Like, that right there is insane. That is insane. That's an insane lineup. Fnatic would have been blown out the water. It would have been a terrible deal. And we've got a great new team I look forward to in 2016. But Twist moving to Fnatic is an incredible story in and of itself. Historically, Twist has always turned down the opportunity to play on big teams, to play with people outside of his immediate circle of friends, his comfort zone, just because of the personality type that he is. But when everybody was talking about, oh, Twist should go here and Twist should go there, and imagine if NIP picked up Twist, no. And Twist turned down NIP. There was also this groundswell of people who were saying, Twist's overrated, it's all hype, he's never going to do anything if he was to play in a pro team, he's just a pug star, or, he just, when he can play casual with friends, he'll be good, but he'll never do anything as a competitive force. Well, if we look at what happened in Malmo when he went to DreamHack with Godsend, he was unreal. For me, a very strong argument that he was the most valuable player of the tournament overall. I thought Godsend were a revelation at that tournament. But, he came out with an HLTV rating of 1.26. I think he had the most kills to death. Overall, he was at like plus 57 for the tournament. The guy was an absolute monster, and that's over 10 maps. These are no joke, these statistics. Now, unfortunately, we haven't really seen Godsend at at that kind of level, or I'd like to see them in something like E-League, for example, or whatever. But Twist, I think, is a player who is going to be capable of seriously turning some heads. And I think, again, Fnatic can feel very pleased that they have acquired this player because he is just phenomenal, I think. I really think this is a big deal. So Dennis, Olofmeister, and Twist. Now, right now, that sounds pretty impressive. You add two decent names to this, and we've got a side. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. Lecro is, for me, a middle-of-the-pack player. I feel he's one of those players that will never do anything too spectacular. They are a middle-of-the-pack kind of player, and they are the glue. They generally tend to do the work that makes other people shine without ever truly shining themselves. You always need players like that in a team, but certainly when we start moving down, Olofmeister, Dennis, Twist, the next name being Lecro, it doesn't really inspire you with confidence. And look, I'm sure there'll be some hipsters out there saying that Lecro is secretly the best player in the world or whatever. That always happens when these roster swaps happen. I can respect that. And I'm not being disparaging about his talents, but I think he's got pretty big shoes to fill to say that he honestly belongs in this company. You know, this is a different entity, and there's going to be a lot of weight on his shoulders, because if we think about the roles that he would traditionally be playing, you know, this is a guy who's going to be in that kind of, you know, flusher role, in that kind of, you know, he's going to have to pull the kind of leverage, pull the kind of weight that he used to. So I think this is going to be interesting to see whether or not that he can do that, you know, make up the sort of amount of frags that the players that they had have left. And that's what I'm talking about here, firepower disparity. And then the fifth name, which also feeds into this idea of firepower disparity, is Wenton. Now, on the plus side, I thought when Olaf Meister was injured and they brought Wenton in, and everyone said, who is this? He was a young player. They gave him a chance. They said they'd been impressed with his performances. They said that he'd impressed them in scrims and in FPL and everything else. Okay, cool. That's great. You're developing talent. And I think having him as a substitute was probably very good for him career-wise, and it was a good move for Fnatic. Just to have somebody there while you've got an injured player, or maybe some players need to duck in and out. And he's obviously a good, loyal soldier in the sense that, you know, he's there for Fnatic when they need him. But when I watched him play, he had some good games, you know, like he did. But typically when Fnatic were rolling, like for me, Wenton is a player who, like, he's the icing on the cake, but he'll never be the sponge, you know? Like if your team's already performing, Wenton can get in on that action. He'll loosen up. He'll play aggressive. He'll be a bit more exuberant in how he approaches the game. But if you're under the cosh, and if you're up against it, can you rely on a young, inexperienced player to dig you out of the hole? Well, I didn't see any evidence for that when Fnatic were going through their slump and having to rely on Wenton in place of Olaf Meister. Now, maybe it is the weight, the burden of having to fill the shoes of that size. These are like size 16s, you know, like, and you're just a kid. But I didn't see anything in the games I watched that made me think Wenton is going to be a guy that's going to fly the flag for Fnatic one day, and he's going to be like the next chapter in their illustrious history. I think they will be a little bit disappointed that they couldn't bring an extra person in. And I do wonder if he's got stand-in stamped all over his fucking forehead, you know? And by that I mean, He was like, if we remember Huitten, another one of our Swedish friends, if we remember him, you know, when he was playing in an all-star lineup, everyone was just like, dude, if they ever need to change players, if you ever lose, you're out. And it was so obvious, and of course, lo and behold, it happened, and it happened quite quickly. And I think Wenton's in a potentially similar position, and I don't think that's going to do anything for confidence. I don't think that's going to do anything to make you play better if you're perpetually worried about, hey, I'm the person here with the least reputation. I'm the person here that probably does have the least experience, arguably the least talent. What happens if we start losing? And that's a big burden, a big pressure to have coming in. And when you wear the Fnatic colors and there's that expectation there, you've got a fan base who are used to winning. Holy shit, that's a big deal. A big deal for anyone, let alone a young, inexperienced player. So I think just in terms of talent, I got to give the edge to Godsent overall throughout the team. I think they have a strong in-game leader in over at Godsent as well. I've always been a fan of what Pronax does. I've always considered him one of the most intelligent and cerebral players in terms of tactics and calling on the fly. I don't think, again, he got a lot of credit for that. I think people just thought he was there, you know, when Fnatic were winning all those trophies, and it's absolutely not true. You talk to there's a lot of pros, other in-game leaders, and they'll tell you, you know, Pronax is, he doesn't get enough credit for that. So I got to say Godsent have come out of this a little bit better. But that isn't to say that Fnatic are in a terrible spot. I just think I got genuine questions about firepower. I got genuine questions about what they're going to do when they're in real, you know, backs to the wall situations, when they have those deep tournament runs. And I've got to say, I don't think this is the finished Fnatic. I don't think this is the Fnatic we have in December, even perhaps. I think there might be another swap, another story between now and then. Now, obviously, we don't have another major this year, but there are going to be other big tournaments, and Fnatic are going to have to go, and they're the ones that have already got the weight of expectation. They're the ones who are already in these tournaments. You know, it's going to be a big, tall order for these new players coming in, and I think Twist is up to it, no doubt, but I definitely have questions about Lecro and Wenton as starters and what they're going to achieve. So those are my thoughts. I think it's super exciting. I will say this. I think this is exactly what... This is what I love as a fan of the game. This is what I love as somebody that commentates on the game and analyzes it. I love it when we get new rosters thrown together like this. And typically when you break apart two teams, it's what made that French shuffle so interesting to me, because you have a very clear idea about which players do what in your mind, and we all have that. But then when it gets broken apart and lineups get torn in half and kind of paired together, it's a very interesting experiment to see whether your expectations match the reality. And I could be totally wrong here. Fnatic could come out and blow everyone away. I just don't really see it. And I think this is a great bit of business for Godsent. I think they're a team that we're going to be talking about moving forward now throughout the rest of this year, and certainly into the first quarter of 2017. This is a bold, bold pickup. It's a great one for them, and I'm really excited to see where it goes. Anyway, so there's my thoughts. Thanks a lot for watching the video. No doubt I will see you on the next one. Take care.